Hey guys, it's Monday night, so you know what time it is. It's Black Twitter time right here on BHL. Tonight, we're talking Black Panther and their big win at the SAG Awards, plus Taraji's in some hot water on Black Twitter, and Ja Rule, he's a mess. All that coming up right after this.
Go, Lena. Go, Lena.
Drop it. You can't see it. But I'm making a clap. Hey, that is right. Oh, goodness. We're going to be talking about this.
A lot to say.
We got a lot. I know you got a lot to say about this. Over there.
I'm
in your
mad.
Corners.
In the man corner.
Exactly. All right. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Black Twitter time, and I'm your host, Alina Vision. And tonight, I'm joined by my OG right here.
Hey, everybody, it's your OG, Al G, sitting here with my girl, Alina, my sister from another mother. Al and Al, let's get it popping.
It's Team Al, Al squared.
Let's do it.
You know?
That's what's up.
Oh, my goodness. So how's your week been so far?
My week's been cool. I've just been bugging off of all the press, all the Terry Crews calling all these black men being guilty of toxic masculinity.
Oh.
It's real fun stuff, and I got a lot of stuff for you in the Wokey Woke segment.
That's right. So people, you're going to want to stay tuned for that because it always pops off in that segment,
for sure.
So first off, we're going to talk about Black Panther winning the SAG Award for Best Ensemble Cast and Motion Picture. It was amazing last night. Dope. What did you think of it?
Mixed feelings.
Wow. Oh,
because obviously I'm an advocate for black people, recognition, diversity, but I'm also a Marvel head and I'm a film critic. I'm a filmmaker myself. So I don't want to judge Black Panther differently just because it's been billed as the woke, diverse picture. Honestly, it was a good film, but it was a very so-so film. It was average, like any of the other popcorn Marvel films. It was entertaining. There are some other films I felt that could have gotten nominated. Spike Lee's Black Klansman or even Bohemian Rhapsody. I hate it, but I think because the Academy's got such a backlash last year about, you know, my Academy is not black, I'm thinking SAG is trying to get ahead of the PR curve.
Okay, but you have to remember that SAG is voted on by the people in the Guild. So it's not, you know, the Academy, it's not, you know, the Hollywood Foreign Press, which does the Golden Globes. This is like them being voted on by their peers. I, for one, was super happy to see Black Panther win. you know, this is the first time that the most grossing film won in that category.
But it doesn't necessarily make it the best film, though.
It doesn't, but I think that's just, you know, it's very subjective what you think. I think as an ensemble cast, they did a marvelous job. And they, I think, deserved that award. And it was great to see them all there up on stage and, you know, really relishing in that fact. And, you know, Black Twitter, they liked it too.
Probably carried it over the edge with Black Twitter. And I would even say it's, I mean, it's human nature. There was so much word of mouth about Black Panther and how revolutionary it was in its casting and its Afrocentric. There was so much word of mouth that it was kind of like omnipresent. It washed over everything in the box office. So when has the SAG Awards, Academy Awards ever really been about the best film? It never really has, in my opinion. You know, groupthink, political, what all it is, and I'm just happy. Hey, but if they get their political awards, let us get our political awards too. Because I've seen plenty of trashy SAG awards going through some trashy films. So if they can do that, we can do that too.
Listen, I'm here for Black Panther. So let's check out what people are saying on Twitter. This one is coming from Carolyn Black Girls and Women Matter Hind. She says, growing up, I never thought I'd see a film with a 98% black cast made by a black director with a black female costume and set designers having the impact Black Panther has. Hashtag Black Panther is truly a dream come true to be young, black, gifted and beautiful.
Alina, hey. You said, not to cut you off, but you read a really good important tweet. She said all these things. Never thought I'd see a film, black, 100% black cast, black director,
98%.
Black female,
right.
Black designers. Did she say anything about the quality of the movie yet? I'm being devil's advocate.
I think the award speaks for the quality of the movie.
Okay.
The award speaks, in my opinion, for the quality of
Send
the movie.
Your hate I don't mail think, to me, guys.
Here's the thing. I don't think it would have been nominated all these different times for all these different awards if it was a crappy film. It just wouldn't have. So I know that people in the fandom of Marvel, it happens even with Star Wars. Yeah. I mean, it happens in these big fandoms. They tend to be a little bit more critical than the average viewer that's going out to just watch. And for what they did, for, like she said, to see a 98% black cast and, you know, have a black director and just crew everything, this is a huge monumental moment.
I think for affecting the zeitgeist, then you have to give it to it. You know, that's what we're talking about at the end of the day.
Because this film is hopefully going to change a lot of perspective in Hollywood, and hopefully this will open the door for more black people, whether they're, you know, producers, directors, actors, to actually get those movies and get those movies greenlit and get those parts.
From a business tip, I'm in 100% agreement. That's what I'm saying. If they can give all these other trashy commercial films awards, let us get our, you know, so-so Black Panther trashy film award,
too. It is not so-so. Oh, my goodness.
Let us have it, too.
Mediocre. Hey, now, you better try.
Only because I put black people on a higher standard. I hold us to account to have good writing, good acting, good story.
I completely agree. Like, Black Klansman, I thought was amazing. Spike Lee killed it in that.
Spike should have got nominated.
Yeah.
That would have been somebody who deserved it, in my opinion.
I agree. He should have. But once again, let's go and see what Chadwick Boseman said on Twitter. He said, quote, to be young, gifted, and black, which is actually, this is a side note, part of his acceptance speech, which is really, really good. There's a place for us. There is a screen for us. Thank you, SAG-AFTRA, for the appreciation and celebration of our work. Yeah. He gave a really great, like, acceptance speech that was really long, and the music almost played him out, but he wasn't having it. And that's, I think, what really resonated with people on Twitter was this whole, like, you know, to be young, gifted, and black, and to have people say to you, there's not a place for you, and you have to still keep striving and working hard. And, you know, they made a place.
I agree with 100%. They wedged themselves in there.
Exactly. Which you have to do. And it's just the right time, completely. And then there was one more tweet that I wanted to hit up. So this is from Matthew A. Cherry. And for those of you who can't see, it's a picture of the cast of Crazy Rich Asians and Black Panther together. And he just said, pick is so powerful. And I can't agree more. Yeah. I was actually working the red carpet yesterday for Black Hollywood Live. And to see these two casts come down the red carpet. I think first the Black Panther cast came, and it was just like African royalty. It was Melon and Poppin. No, it was just like Melon and Poppin. I mean, it was just great. It was amazing to see all that, and people were cheering. And then the cast of Crazy Rich Asians came down, and I'll never forget this because so the red carpet is like in the middle. The press is on one side, and then they have fans on the other side kind of looking over and cheering. There was a, right across from me, there was a group of Asian fans, and they got so excited. You know, just like seeing that, like, yes, representation matters. And I just felt so good that now people are, you know, all races are being represented in film and can celebrate the way that everyone else can. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Great photo. Crazy Rich Asians. A plus for diversity. A plus for inclusion. It's revolutionary. I'd like to see it. Quality. Forget it.
Okay, well, we're just... This is... Look, everybody's got their own opinion.
Yeah, film is so subjective.
Jeez. Jeez, Al. Give me a wet blanket up in here. in your corner. Oh, God, I'm going to send you back to your corner.
My conspiracy corner.
Exactly. All right, so moving on. We're going to move on to Taraji P. Henson, who got in some hot water with Black Twitter this last week.
I was riding for Taraji. I don't see what the backlash
is. Listen, everybody, people had opinions, and people were like, is this the right time to be putting that opinion out? Because Homegirl has a movie. In fact, I think it premieres tonight. Uh-huh. That's where Ashley is. Ashley is over at the red carpet for that.
Shout out to Ashley.
Yeah. So check out those, you know, red carpet interviews right here on BHL. So here's the deal of what Taraji said, and she did post this on her Instagram stories, but it was completely all silent, so I didn't think it would be good for video here. But pretty much she, on her Instagram stories, was comparing the mute R. Kelly phenomenon to the mute Harvey Weinstein phenomenon. And there isn't a phenomenon for Harvey Weinstein on Twitter. And so people really got at her, like, you know, why are we comparing? You know, there is no mute Harvey Weinstein because he's not in the music business. So, Al, I know you got that. So let's hear it.
I was rocking with Taraji, and she didn't even say anything. People were, like, killing her. Well, you said this. You just said it. She didn't say a thing. Mm. All the camera showed was her getting on, Googling, mute R. Kelly, you know, versus mute Harvey Weinstein and see what come up.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to show you. I'm just going to say this. Harvey Weinstein, he's about to get off. He's about to get off. If you've been following his case, he's been able to, like, flip a lot of these witnesses and obviously pay off a lot of these people, which I think is dead wrong. I think he's guilty of sin.
Yeah,
but if you guilty. But if you got the money, you can do that. That is my prediction. So it all goes with the amount of money you have, you know.
Oh, that's...
Unfortunately.
That's the criminal justice system. It's,
yeah, I'm cynical, but it is. Yeah. We live in a flawed system.
Yes. Mm. So here is what Taraji said. She came out on Twitter and she said, let me be clear, and this is all caps, of course. Let me be clear, R. Kelly is guilty and wrong and should be muted, period.
Guilty of sin.
Yeah. So, I mean, technically, yes, she didn't say, you know, he shouldn't be, but people definitely had a lot of thoughts. So here was one person, Alessia. She says on Twitter, I'm really disappointed in Taraji P. Henson for that IG post. Someone please take her phone away for a bit and talk some sense into her. And then try to make it seem like what she was doing made sense. She really added MLK's photo behind it all. And then she has the gif of Tyra Banks, the famous gif of, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Man, the thing is...
But that's how I feel. I mean, I get what she's trying to say, but at the same time, it's like...
You don't want to take the focus off these black women victims. That's the thing.
Yes, okay, exactly. It's like a predator is a predator is a predator. Right. Everyone should be muted. Everyone should, you know, if they have done something like this... Like, it's a wrap.
But, Alina, just to play, you know, the devil's advocate. You know me.
Of
I always
got
to propose the counterpoint. Just to think, people. Just to think.
Mm-hmm.
Have we been talking about Harvey Weinstein lately, or have we been talking about Bill Cosby?
Okay.
Let me finish. R. Kelly. And now, Michael Jackson with this premiere at Sundance. Who are we talking about? I just look for patterns. I'm a mathematician.
Okay.
I look for patterns.
Okay.
Two
okay.
can be a coincidence. Three is a pattern in my
opinion.
Okay,
so I'm going to take your pattern and I'm going to raise you some facts, okay? So there was actually a tweet from the person, the director who did the R. Kelly documentary series, and she says even that there are two series that are coming out about Harvey Weinstein, so you just gotta be patient.
All right.
Things gotta get produced. We're all both right. in the business. We all know right. how long those all sometimes right. take. All okay. Right. So, and we talked about Harvey Weinstein, that he's what kicked off the entire movement. So I really don't think you can say he hasn't had his time.
He did kick off the movement, and I agree with you.
He's had his, and publicity. I am not trying to defend him. Like, I think
I just think the reason he's dropped out because he's going to get off. Every time I look at him, he's got this victory in court and that victory in court. And so nobody wants to publicize that, and I get it because we all think he's guilty. But, you know. Dun, 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 dun. That's a conspiracy theory.
You're over there with your tinfoil hat.
Wait. I brought some tinfoil with me. Go to her. I'm going to bust out my tinfoil.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so if you're not in studio, Al is getting on his tinfoil. Oh, he legitimately has some Reynolds wrap up in the studio. Why do you have Reynolds wrap?
I have Reynolds wrap because you read my mind. I was going to incorporate a conspiracy corner in my woke, because woke is always like borderline with the conspiracy and the truth is. I was going to incorporate that, ladies and gentlemen. So just before, this is a teaser. I don't want to mess up Alina's saying this is a teaser. You know, they say a lot of the brothers who are woke and kick knowledge, they were a kufi, right? Here's the kufi, the African kufi. What I'm going to do is make a tinfoil kufi.
Oh, Lord. Okay,
I'm going to make a tinfoil kufi.
While you're over there, we're going to get get back to some of these tweets with your noisy tinfoil. Oh my goodness. All right, so getting back to the whole Taraji. So Tara on Instagram or on Twitter actually says, word, I really need all of our black female celebs to really think before jumping into this fire pit for R. Kelly. Which I completely agree with her. I think I get what Taraji was trying to do. She didn't say anything, but it's like you have to, Taraji, you should know. You need to put context because people are going to jump the shark and think you're just trying to say R. Kelly's getting a raw end of the stick.
Yeah, but the thing is, she didn't say that. That's the thing. If you go to her, she didn't say that.
But it's the internet, Al. It's Twitter. It is Instagram. Do you think
ain't nobody
going
to think about that.
Yeah, exactly. It is instant. Right. It is on stories. People are not going to think about that. So it's like you have to add context. And I think sometimes it's just, you know, doing something like that and then realizing, okay, now I see and I have to add context. Right. Here's another tweet from Garrett Hill. He says, Lord, Taraji is on Insta story comparing R. Kelly to Harvey Weinstein as if R. Kelly is being treated unfairly. What is life?
She wasn't saying that.
Right, right.
She was just talking about from a press point of view.
Okay. How's your tinfoil hat coming?
My tinfoil hat's ready to go. Whenever we go to the woke, we'll get through whatever you need. When we go to woke conspiracies, you know, I'll put on my tinfoil kufi.
No, Jesus. That's going to be something else. Here was another tweet that a lot of people liked. So this is from Clarkisha. She says, I was feeling a way that Taraji's career wasn't where it should be, but after this, chow, in her own words, the universe has a way of taking care of good people. You know what I mean? And that's a reference to a quote from Taraji on the red carpet when she was being interviewed. I believe it was by Ryan Seacrest at last year's
She called him out on being abusive to women. So she should have credibility, right?
Yeah, I think she does.
Built up.
I think she does.
Yeah.
The tweet goes on to say, bad people too, auntie, like rape apologists. Ooh. Ouch. I mean, she did come back and, you know, say, this is what I meant. She cleared it up on Twitter. Mm. But Sparkle, who was one of the victims aunt in the R. Kelly documentary, she had some words to say, too. So let's roll that video.
But however, I think her wording, I think we have to be very sensitive when it comes to this issue right now. Because, look, there are girls who are still out here who want to speak up, who won't speak up because of stuff like this. And because of people who like her who are saying, you know, we need to love, we need to... Look, this is far past that. We now need to offer him some tough love and some community love as a black community, I will say. Because we too often are very forgiving and we will forgive a person the next morning if they're saying, oh, I'm sorry. No, get some help. You need some help. You know you need some help. Mm-hmm. Get it. Why are we comparing? You know, abuser is an abuser.
Thank you.
Weinstein he's out up for a rape charge now, right? And, you know, R. Kelly is hopefully do the same, you know, be up for something. But it was just disheartening as a black woman to another black woman to, you know, just to say, do the comparison thing and to kind of just, you know, like whatever with the victims almost, you know what I mean? Look, if we need to take everything down, let's take it all down. You know, I will sacrifice that.
All right. There we go.
That's actually the tail end of the discussion. When she's talking about taking things down, does she talk about like muting or taking down content?
I think
taking
so,
everything
yeah.
down. Okay, I have an interesting take on that because I support the
At least
whole,
that's how I read it.
Okay. Well, then it's very, everybody's saying mute R. Kelly.
Right.
I support the notion of mute R. Kelly. If you're listening to, I don't know, Tidal or whatever your streaming
right, Spotify,
is. Spotify.
Apple
yeah,
Music,
yeah.
Right.
And R. Kelly comes on, mute it, there's a button. You don't have to put them on your playlist.
Right.
I'm all for that. But one of the things, like people like me, I already have a ton of Michael Jackson records. There's nothing for me to mute. He's already in my computer. I got Off the Wall and all his albums in there. Are those going anywhere? No, they're not going anywhere. Will I not parade around Michael Jackson or a T-shirt and music? Because I don't want to offend the victims. I don't want that would be very insensitive of me. But I have a. I think we have to also make a designation between mute, which I said is like turning off, versus, you know, my big thing versus destroy that person's legacy. Destroy the history.
Because again, you came in with the voice.
Because when, again, I mean, I've seen it before. Right, I've seen this movie. Alina, when Tupac was arrested for sexual abuse, they had the women up there stamping on all his CDs. He's an abuser. He's an abuser. Guess what happened to his sales? They went up. So, ladies and gentlemen, keep that in mind.
All right. Well, we're going to move on now to some more messery. Oh, Lord, Ja Rule. Ja Rule. We were talking about this before we came on air, because I asked Al, I was like, have you seen any of the Fyre Festival documentaries? Because there's one on Netflix, and then there's one on Hulu, and you said you haven't seen them yet. Okay. So I've seen the one on Netflix.
Okay. What do you think about it?
That gave me anxiety. I was like, how did these people not know to cancel this thing? I was anxious. Like, I worked for them, and I do not work for them. Right. I started thinking that too.
This is what I would do if I was in that situation.
I was like, I'd quit. I'd quit and just be peace out, because this is not some mess you want, you know, up on your whatever. So people, after seeing this, were like, Ja Rule was in it from the get-go. Why isn't he in jail like the other guy who is the main person that put on the Fyre Festival? He got, you know, charged and indicted and whatnot. So
I would just speculate without having seen it, because Ja Rule was never involved with the money or the writing checks. He can get out there. Yeah, I had this cool idea. I joined them. I was helped them promote.
He
put money into it, but he didn't get back.
Right.
So, I mean, that's why I guess he's not in jail, because he didn't willfully misspend
somebody's
money. But
I want you to watch it.
Okay.
And then you let me know. Okay, so Ja Rule, this is what he put on Twitter. He says, I, too, was hustled, scammed, bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray.
Busting out the Malcolm X.
No, you were not. Okay, here's the thing. At the end of that documentary, like, one of the final scenes, it's a conference call, and you hear his voice on the conference call, but they have, like, video into the actual, meeting. And somebody, like, brings up the fact that, you know, it could be fraud, what they did. And he says, nah, it's not fraud. And they're like, well, what would you call it? And he's like, I call it false advertising. Like, okay, homie, really?
Really? I can't help you there. Yeah, nah, I can't
exactly.
Help.
You're just like, exactly. It's just a mess. Okay. So there was actually a tweet that he put out in like 2017. And if you could scroll up, Jonathan, actually. Or maybe it was, yeah, there. Having a little bit of technical difficulty. There we go. Okay, so this is what Ja Rule said. He said, and this is a mess. Okay. Thank you all for participating in Fyre Festival social experiment, where we expose hundreds of millennials who have never experienced true adversity to the hardships facing refugees in foreign countries. This was an eye-opening experience for many of us, and we walk away from this event with a new perspective of the human condition. Mm-hmm. Hashtag no refunds.
He did.
You ain't getting your money back.
Right, basically.
But, like, he was trying to flip it, like, oh, this is a good thing. Now you rich millennials know how refugees live. Because you had to eat bread and some sliced cheese.
You should learn from this. Let's turn the negative into a positive.
Get out of here. Come on, son. Come on.
Come on, Sean. Come on, Sean.
So somebody, like, obviously retweeted that and was like, you know, dude. You didn't know. You know, you knew. Let's get this tweet and refresh your memory.
Everything he said sounds more condemning, even if I say it, given the benefit of the doubt, I don't know his heart. Because they say to prove fraud, you have to prove intention. Mm-hmm. Like, they intentionally wanted to take money. Then there's a thin line between, and you tell me, a thin line, mm-hmm. I think, between false advertising. Because McDonald's, everybody does false advertising versus intentional.
Oh, no, this is intentional. He knew. I want you to watch the documentary.
All right, I will,
and
I
just
will.
To preface, this documentary was actually made, the one on Netflix was made by the guys, the media company that's in charge of, you know, Fuck Jerry, the media account on Instagram. They were going to be doing, like, a behind-the-scenes one. So that's how they got all this footage. And then I think the one on Netflix, I mean, on Hulu, I'm not quite sure who did that. So it was kind of funny that the people that were investing in it are the ones that, you know, made this documentary. So just, you know, full disclosure.
Right.
All right, let's move on to the woke segment. I think we got some Cardi B coming up.
Uh-oh, the woke segment. Yeah.
Yeah,
let's cue up our girl Cardi B.
What is that?
I got
sigh?
So much to say about Cardi B.
Of course,
Cardi
you do.
I go Cardi B.
Okay.
Okay, ladies.
Well, what's
and,
up? What's
ladies
good?
And gentlemen, let me talk to my wokeity woke camera.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cardi B put out a music video with the City Girls, and it's basically the song is it's all about twerking. Everybody calls it the twerk video.
Yeah.
And in a second, we're about to throw to the video, but there's been a big discussion on Black Twitter, and I was asking Alina for her opinion. Is it empowering females, black women, women of color, or is it not just the opposite of empowering, I guess what you could say, derogatory, ill reflection of bad optics, stereotypical black sexuality? I don't know. So we're on the side of the spectrum default. Or can it be both? I don't know. So let's watch. Yeah,
okay, let's watch a little bit of the video.
About Airlines, we'd like to thank you for flying with us. We'll be landing in Miami shortly. Flight attendants, please prepare the cabin for landing.
For those of you who can't see, there's just a lot of booty clapping.
Jiggle, jiggle.
Yeah. Do it, baby. Stick it, baby.
Move it, baby. Lick it, baby. There we go. And they're dressed like animals. Animal makeup. Cardi B is like a tiger. She has tiger booty makeup.
And it's like, yeah, body makeup
for
the most
part. And the other one has
on
a zebra pant.
And it's just all booty. That's all it is. Twerking, booty. Lots of big old booties. All right, let's come back in out of that. Okay, so you asked me what I think of it. Is it empowering or is it not?
Yes.
I think, and I see both sides of the argument of people saying, some people saying it's not empowering and others saying it is empowering. And I fall on the lines of if these women want to do this, and are happy doing it, and they're not coerced, and it's not anything whatever, then I have no problem with it. Their bodies are beautiful, and that's a part of feminism. But there is another part of feminism that says, especially that black women have been over-sexualized, and this goes back to, you know, and objectified goes back to, you know, slavery days, it goes back to, like, you know, Sarah Bartman, all of that. So I get what they're saying, but I guess I come from the spectrum of if this is what they want to do, and
so
it
it's all
is
about
what it
like
is.
Who controls it. And from what I understand, there weren't hardly any men on the set,
right? Like, it'd be weird if they're just like guys like salivating, like, get it, girl, you know? Like, no, but if it's, you know, if this is like it's part of their art.
And you know, I mean, twerking, we could even trace it back to Africa if we really want to go there.
Exactly.
But, you know, let's talk about, like, context is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see an African dance and you see a twerk routine, like, and it's incorporated in a greater dance and culture and there's a story versus, I don't know, just a song that's rapping about ass and titties, different context. So my question to you is the only difference it's empowering when they objectify and sexualize themselves, but it's not empowering if somebody else is doing it. As long as they objectify and sexualize themselves, it's
cool. And they're fine with it? I think so.
Yeah.
It's just like there's some women who go into stripping not because it's like they absolutely, you know, have to do it or they have a pimp that makes them want to do it, but they just genuinely like stripping.
I appreciate the female form.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
Cardi says, it's just like, let me do me. Like, that's just, you know, it is what it is. Like, I don't see that there's a problem with it. Would I do it personally? No. But I don't. I have, you know, I've had friends that have done stripping and they liked it. And it's like, okay, cool.
Okay.
I'm not going to judge you
there
on
was
that.
Something
it
on,
is what it is.
There was something on the web that was showing about a 12-year-old girl saying she wants to be a stripper like Cardi.
A 12-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that the fallout?
Okay, why is her mom letting her, like, watch this stuff?
So
okay, then that's parenting.
So that's bad parenting.
That's parenting, because,
okay.
You know. Like Chris Rock says, your one thing is to just keep your daughter off the boat. But at one point, if they want to do that, they're over the age.
And here's the thing about our society, and I feel sorry for our parents, Alina, because I agree with you. I feel like you know, if you monitor what your children bring in the house, the music, don't watch MTV, guess what? Every kid's got YouTube on their phone. And they can be walking in a store and playing Cardi B. You can be walking, I don't know, in a Starbucks, and they can be interviewing Cardi B, talking about she was a stripper. So it's almost inescapable to a certain point.
Yeah, it is. All right, we got to wrap it up there, actually, because, we got another show coming in. So where can the good people find you?
No,
I know. We'll save it for next week, hopefully. And you got to plug your documentary.
Got to plug my doc. Thank you very much. All right, everybody, your boy Algie. I just completed a feature documentary called Jamaica House, and it will be premiering at the Pan African Film Festival. And you can get tickets at paff.org or hit me up on my IG and Twitter down below.
That is right. I am so excited to
see
you,
Alina.
And be on the lookout because we're actually going to be doing a BHL Conversations with you.
That's right. Oh, premiere February 9th. People's February 9th.
There you go. All right. You guys can find me on all social media at Alina Vision, and that's Vision with two S's. All right. Until next time. Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christian, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.